Yes, Lord, we praise you, Father. Glory be to God. Thank you, Father. Lord, we know that you're the God that loves to do and to show yourself to all of us, Lord, through our prayers and answering our prayers through our faith. We praise you, Father, for that in the name of Jesus. We know, Lord, that when we pray tonight, it's going to be answered because we have that open heaven to you, Lord. And you know that our faith is such that we ain't giving up until it's done. And we praise you, we glorify you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we just thank you for all that you've done this day. And we praise you, Father. We thank you, Lord, for placing it in our hearts to keep praying for one another all the time. Because we never know when it's going to be needed unless you tell us, unless we're praying. And I thank you for it, Father. I thank you that tonight's no exception, that when somebody needs prayer, we're all going to pray together and believe together and know it's done. Thank you, Father, because we're coming into a time, Lord, as you told us time and time again, that we're going to need to stand in faith and endure in our faith. And we praise you, we glorify you, Father, for it, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for our praises that go up to you. Lord, we thank you, Father, that everything that you've done for us, Lord, everything that you've done for us, it brought us closer to you. Lord, that spiritual hunger we talked about the other night, Lord. You know, Lord, we often say that we want ourselves to be filled completely to the overflowing. And Lord, a lot of times our flesh can't handle it. But Lord, I know that I'd like to experience that. And I know everybody in here would too. We praise you, we glorify you, Father, for the things that you're working in us to get rid of that flesh that would hinder the fullness of you in us. Thank you, Father, for that in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. All right. Has anybody got a prayer request? Yeah, Missy.
Over the weekend, I went to see my family. We all got together and had a surprise that my nephew, my sister's son, came with his girlfriend. I don't know if it's like official, if they're officially engaged, but I know they want to get married. But anyway, and he was, Brett and Cindy's relationship has really been strained and it's been kind of off and again and on again. He gets in these moods where he doesn't want to talk to her. He gets offended easily, but, He expressed to her recently that, you know, he wanted to, his relationship with her, wanted to work on his relationship with her. And anyway, my sister, Cindy, told me that, long story short, that all three of his kids, the oldest is 13. And she's, well, I guess I should tell what's going on with Kaylee. Her mom, Alyssa, has two other children to her husband. And she found out she has MS. And she's only like maybe 29 or so. And she just has a difficult time, taking care of the kids. So, Kaylee has to, she's like kind of like running the house. And, so Brett said that, you know, about was going to get her in counseling. And, then her other two, then his other two, Riley and Brady, boy and a girl, Riley's girl, He wants to have them put in counseling. He wants to put them in, not counseling. He calls it therapy. Because they feel neglected and rejected. So I just wanted to pray for all of them. And then plus Brett said he wants to get into therapy too. So, and Kellen, like Helen, except it's Kellen is his girlfriend. Anyway, so I've been praying for them. And so, Father, I just praise you and I thank you for all that you're doing, Lord. I pray, Lord, for each and every one of the children, Lord, that they would know that they are loved, especially by you. And Father, Brett's not... he's been taught a little bit of you, and I just pray that the planting of those seeds in him, Lord, that if he hears anything that he does not set right with him, or just, you know, just if there's things that this therapist is saying or doing that it's not good, Lord. You just put it in Brett to take them out and feel to put them in Christian counseling, although Christian counseling sometimes isn't any whole lot better, but it's better than nothing. But Lord, more than anything, Lord, just hit it home. Give Brett the revelation, Lord, that you are the answer for everything and to take everything to you, Lord. I know, Father, that he supposedly accepted you when he was fairly young, and I don't know if that is if he understood really truly, if he truly repented and believed, Lord. But anyway, Lord, I just thank you for what you're doing in their lives. And Lord, I just pray for Alyssa, Kaylee's mother that has MS, Father. I just pray you use this to draw her to yourself and bring her repentance and belief in you. And also, I just command health and healing to her in the name of Jesus. I just thank you, Lord, that you are going to bring this, all this together for the good of all of them. And that is to bring them to salvation, repentance and belief in you, Lord, to bring them into your kingdom, Lord. And I just praise your mighty name, Lord, for all that you're doing. And you're answering prayers, Lord, you're answering prayers. And I thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. And also my brother and my sister.
Uh-oh, you got froze up. Long story short.
Anyway.
Now you're undone. You're undone. Go ahead.
Okay. I just praise you and thank you, Lord, for bringing everyone into the realization, Lord, that you are their savior in all things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Okay. Anybody else? Yeah, Donna.
So I have a prayer request. I have four children, and my son, Sean, which Michael, you met, and his wife, and then my son-in-law, Josh. Anyway, they have taken the shot. Okay. My son took, they've taken both of the shots. They have not taken any boosters. And my three girls have not. They all work in the medical field. Josh is a sergeant in the police department in Council Bluffs. And so they felt pressured to take it. They knew better. You know, we discussed it and talked about it many times. And Sean does admit now he does regret it. Well, when his wife, she was pregnant when she got the second shot. And so they had problems with little Adeline. She came prematurely. They had to take her early because major complications, the placenta was not feeding her properly and so forth. Well, she was born and they had to go in and remove a bone from her forehead because her little head was not formed correctly. And so they've corrected that and she had to wear a helmet for quite a while and stuff. But I guess my prayer request is, you know, for little Adeline, that everything, you know, that God will, you know, normalize everything that the enemy tried to take from her. And also for Sean and Lauren and Josh, I am truly standing in faith that God annulled those shots. And I'm believing it. And I guess my prayer is that I can continue to stand in that faith for them, that with the new variant coming out and so forth, that that I don't cave in, you know, to fear and just continue to believe for them. They all said they're not taking any more shots, so praise God for that.
Thank you, Mark.
So
all right, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, through our ignorance a lot of times and pressure from the outside world, we do things that we shouldn't do. But Father, I know that you forgive a lot. You're a grace-giving God, merciful God. And in the name of Jesus right now, we neutralize any bad effects of these vaccinations on any of our children. And grandchildren, in the name of Jesus right now, we command every vestige of the devil off of them right now in Jesus' name, that their little bodies and their big bodies are completely free of any kind of demonic activity in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for Donna's children.
Amen. Thank you,
Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Everybody believe that? Amen. Glory to God. Yes. I do too. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Jesus. And Father, I also just ask that you would give Donna steadfastness in her faith and that she not worry, doubt, fall into double mind, or any kind of fear, worry, anxiety over what her family does, that you are sovereign over their lives, that you, that you keep her abiding in the faith, that she's not going to give any second thought to any of that, Lord. And that her faith will not waver. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you guys very much.
Yeah, Matthew. Go ahead, bro.
Yeah, I just wanted to pray. My mom is going to be coming in next month. So I want to pray for a safe trip for her down here. So, Lord, I just pray that that you will go before her, Lord, that all her flights will be on time and she'll be able to get on them, Lord, and that there won't be any delays, that she'll get here on the time that she's supposed to, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you're going to make this easy for her. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Let it be a happy time for her, Lord. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Amen. All right, anyone else? All right, y'all give me just a second here. Yes, it is. All right, Missy, go ahead.
Well, I have something to share. As I said, we went, it's like a praise report, but also prayer. like I said, we went to visit my family speaker and we stayed with Kurt Brook. And Saturday morning after Kurt had gone off to work, I got this text at 7 a.m. and it was from Brooke. And first it was a video and I just kind of like briefly opened it. It was a YouTube video and I didn't really, you couldn't tell by the title what it was about. And so then I got this other text and this is what it said. It was from Brooke. At 7 a.m. in the morning, she sent me a text and I was, Merle and I were downstairs sleeping on the air mattress. And this is what she says. This is an interesting video. I do ask God every day to forgive me for getting the two vaccines that I did and for keeping me safe while so many others lost their lives or had problems with it. And I just like had tears because I've been praying and asking the Lord to give me an opportunity to open the door if he wanted me to talk to her about this, because I knew deep down that she regretted it. You know, I just knew from many little reasons, I believe the Lord showed me, you know, just little things, how things happened and how I found out she was pregnant and talks before that and all that. And I said to her, oh, sweetie, I love you. I've been wanting and waiting for the Lord to open the door to talk to you about that. The Lord has forgiven you. We will talk about it later. And then I also told her, I said, all you have to do, you know, is just ask the Lord to forgive you once and he will, you know. And then I expressed, you know, I've had, there's things that I've struggled to overcome. And when I forget how I said it, but when I slip up and fall back, you know, I just ask the Lord to forgive me again. I said, you know, it's, you know, when it's, you know, there's no condemnation when you're not, when you're doing something. I basically was trying to say, you know, there's no condemnation when you're not wanting to do something, but, you know, but anyway, so I was just so elated and I talked to her later more about it. And then I knew that I could send her that video with Dr. Brian Artis that Michael had shared with us about the birth of his second child and how he spoke about the vaccines and everything. And I remember in the one part of that, you know, he said, you know, wait till your child is 3 years old to give him any vaccines. And I told her, you know, that was in there. And I said, I think he was saying that being very conservative. He didn't vaccinate any of his children. I said, because he knows that they're not good. I said, I think he said to wait till your child is three, so that you can do your own research and search it out for yourself, you know? Anyway, so, you know, I asked her, you know, if she can, if she like has told Kurt any of this, or, you know, she says, she just like said, you know, he don't care. He's concerned about other things. And I'm like thinking, my sense was, is I don't think she feels like she, you know, she's tried to probably talk to him and he doesn't want to hear it. Although he knows he doesn't want any of his children to have the COVID vax, but, you know, and I don't know how she feels about vaccines in general with the children. So Father, I just pray, Lord, that you get Kurt's attention and Brooke's too, that they really understand the seriousness of this. And I pray, Lord, that Brooke really does watch the video. I watched all the video that she gave me, Lord, even though it didn't really, I don't think it really revealed anything that I didn't know, but it was something that, Lord, that I believe helped her, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that Kurt and Brooke come to the knowledge of the truth that you are the Savior and you are the healer. and there's nothing too hard for you, and that they don't need to have fear of man, but just fear you, Lord. Fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And I just praise you and thank you for the work that you're doing in both of them, Lord, in drawing them to you and bringing them into your kingdom. And Lord, I ask you to put it in Kurt's heart to seriously listen to Brooke when she wants to talk to him about anything and not dismiss her, Lord. Lord, he's a really good dad and husband, but sometimes we don't listen to each other like we should. And I just pray that you stop him and get his attention, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for breaking the power of pharmakia over them and all my family. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, go ahead now, Lana.
Hey, everybody. I just wanted to ask for agreement and prayer. I've kind of have a double whammy going on with little Gabe right now. He and the boys were fevering the other day, and praise the Lord, that's not an issue anymore. They got over it really quick without any hassle or side effects, really. But I think Gabe is also teething on top of that, and he lost his bottle, and we're going to leave the bottle at that. And so the Lord has given me a huge amount of grace. I have not been tempted to go to the store to replace that bottle. I figured I'm going to take advantage of this bottle being a goner, and we're going to wean him off. But that cost me most of the night last night with him. And right now he is not happy about going to bed either. And so, Father God, I thank you that he has forgotten that bottle. He no longer needs it for comfort. His belly is full. And he's going to get a full night of sleep tonight. And I am too. And also that stuffy nose that I have been rebuking in little Theo that keeps him up at night is gone in the name of Jesus as well. Enemy, you have no ground here. We command you to cease and desist with all your foul plans. We call them null and void. And this household is going to be at rest tonight until morning. And we're going to wake up bright and cheery and full of praise to the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father.
Amen. No more fussing with Gabe. Thank you, Lord, for making him just to be at peace and relax and go to sleep, Lord. And just agreeing with Lana, Father. We bless him in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, Andrew.
Well, I have a little bit of a praise report. Sometimes the smallest things can be really big. So I was at the grocery store yesterday after I came home from the bank and stuff. And it was a pretty long day. So I got my milk and my eggs and Cheerios were on sale, so I got some of those too. And I came to the cash and I took my wallet, opened it up and pulled up some money and gave it to her, and I left my wallet there at the cash register. And I never phased it, you know, like I never did this for years, you know. And I just walked right out, you know, like, let's go home. And the tenant comes running out, you know, the one who served me, he said, "Is this your wallet?" And he opens it up and it opened right at my driver's license. And I said, "Yeah, I guess it is. Thanks a lot for bringing it to me." And on his way back in, he said, "Actually, this customer here, you know, was the one who found it and told me about it." And I went, "Well, thanks a lot, you know." And then I left the store, automatic door open, and then I went, "Praise God, praise the Lord." Because, you know, if you lose your wallet, there's everything, man. All your credit cards, all your information, getting your license and everything. And he wouldn't have got much money anyway, because it was only about $10 left in there. And I'm just so thankful that the Lord would take care of me, even when I'm in a daze and I don't know what I'm doing anymore. Because you get to be over a certain age, and I think it's, I'm not saying I'm this, but I don't want to do that again, because it's just a little panicky after you think of it, you know. So praise God. Thank you, God, for that. Thank you for taking care of the most smallest thing. And all those times you helped me find my keys and stuff like that too, Lord. Praise you. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. Yeah, go ahead, Barry or Claire or Claire, Marilyn.
praise the Lord. I got a praise report. Casey's mom had a chest x-ray, and it came back with a spot on her lungs. And so they were going to do a CT scan, and she was going to get the report today. So anyway, she was, Casey's dad died 8 months ago. And so suddenly he's a believer. You know, we know he's in heaven, believe he's in heaven. But it's been a hard year for then this. And so anyway, she's been a smoker for years. But when Casey's dad passed away, she quit smoking. So anyway, today was the day she was getting the report, and she had texted our daughter, you know, Casey's wife, to ask us to be sure and be praying for her during the time that she would be talking to the doctor. And we'd already been praying for her. And so anyway, to cut to the chase, the doctor called early. So we, you know, the Lord answered before we ever even prayed anymore. And he said that there's nothing wrong with her lungs, that her lungs just look good. It doesn't look like she was ever a smoker. And both her brothers have some kind of lung disease, but she doesn't have any evidence of that. So anyway, we're just thanking the Lord and praising the Lord. Father, we thank you for having so much mercy and grace on Tammy. And Father, that her lungs are really healthy. Father, I know she's a believer. And she's a work in progress. But Father, this, I think, was a great boost to her faith today, and to ours too, Father. We just give you all the praise and glory. And Lord, we thank you that you that have begun a good work in her are faithful to complete it unto the day of Christ Jesus. And she's coming fully into the kingdom, and she's going to get the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so, Father, we just thank you and praise you for what you're doing here. And we give you all the glory. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. It is done. Glory, hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anyone else? I wanted to talk a little bit tonight. Go ahead, Missy.
Sorry, when you guys see family, there's a whole bunch of stuff that comes up. Plus, Merle today got a report from his niece's husband about how she's doing. The one that had probably 3 or 4 jabs and had cancer in several spots, and they were giving her this medication, and she's doing really well with it. The areas have drastically shrank and everything. But you know, one thing the Lord reminded me of, and it popped in my head when I was talking to Merle and praying for her, Lord, let her know, Lord, let them know, Lord, that, you know, you are the healer and that you don't want to share your glory with anyone. And just the Lord reminded me that, Lord, let her know, help her to understand that she cannot go to the doctors if she refuses taking the jab. I mean, taking the mark of the beast, Lord. If she takes the mark, you know, she can't take the mark of the beast, and that she will be denied medical attention, Lord, when that comes. So I just pray, Lord, that, you know, all your people, all your elect, get that understanding sooner than later, Lord. And I thank you and I praise you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for doing it. All right. Is that everybody? Yeah, Pat.
I have a praise report. I took over another job this week. And last week, I'm still going to New Jersey. But what I had to do is transport all my, office furniture and whatnot over to my new job. And so I took my pickup over and putting everything in the back. Well, I didn't get everything in the back get it over to the site last week. So I had to take a chair over Monday. And just not a problem. So the only problem is when I got up in the morning, it was raining. And of course, if I take the, office furniture over, and the whole plan, taking my pickups, like, carried over in the back of the pickup. But the rain wasn't helping. So I left from the house in the morning, and I had to go over to my storage container and pick this office furniture up. And so I just prayed and asked the Lord to stop the rain so I could get over there, get it over there to my job, without getting wet and, ruining it or whatever. So I took off, drove over to my storage shed, and it was still raining. So I thought, well, okay, I'll put a trash bag. I had some trash bags, and I opened them up, and I put them, stretched them down over the furniture and the chair, and then I strapped it in. And I said, okay, and I took off to work. And what I usually do in the morning is I'll drive over, and before I get on the turnpike to go over to Jersey, I stop in a convenience store there and grab a breakfast sandwich and then make the trip. Well, when I got over to this convenience store, the bag had completely ripped off of my chair. And so I thought, well, okay, I'm gonna, the first thing I thought is, well, it's gonna get wet. I'll see what happens. And then I took the bag off of it. And then just before I pulled out, I said, Lord, since you didn't stop it from raining on me, can you just stop it from raining on my truck until I get over to my job, and then I can get it inside the job trailer, and so I just prayed that, and I left. And of course, I was you know, continuing driving, and it was still raining, and, you know, my windshield wiper's gone. And so I, you know, I turned off my windshield wipers, and it was, you know, the thought being, I'm just going to trust the Lord to stop it from raining on my truck all the way across. But it didn't. And I had to keep turning my wipers on. So I ended up just leaving them on. And I don't know if I was going into like just, you know, maybe a frame of doubt or, you know, whatever it would be, but I just, whatever, I just kept on going. I got to work and I took my laptop into my trailer and I went back out and I said, well, you know, worst case scenario, I'll just grab it, take it in the back room and turn it upside down and let it drain for a day or two or whatever. Well, I got to I unstrapped it from the back of the truck and I noticed that the chair was dry. There wasn't any water on it whatsoever. And then I looked at the bed in my pickup and it was dry. And I thought, wait a minute, I just drove all the way across this state, you know, half of the state of Pennsylvania with my windshield wipers doing this, and the back of my truck wasn't even wet, and the chair wasn't wet. So I had to praise the Lord about that. I couldn't figure out how he did that, but he must have stopped the rain right in the back of my pickup and didn't stop it on my windshield. So anyway. I just thought I would share that. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
I wonder how he did that, Pat. That's pretty cool. Yeah, that's awesome.
Crazy thing about it is he did it, but he didn't bother stopping it at my windshield. So I got to doubt and fight doubt all the way across. So I don't know. What can I say?
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Anyone else got a good testimony like that? Yeah, Claire, go ahead.
Hello, everyone. So it's a strange testimony, and I'm going to share it, and please bear with me. I have used skincare since I was 9. And I struggled with acne and pimples and all the things you can imagine, you know, from a very early age, and my mom being the sweet lady that she was, and not understanding or even knowing about faith or anything, just went one route. And so I was on that one route for a long time. And then before coming to the Lord, I got off the medical route, but went more natural route. And then I found the Lord and started walking with the Lord. And all the while struggling. And all the while not knowing where the problem was. Do you know what I mean? Is it too much sugar? Is it what is it? And you can find 1,000 reasons for acne, and you can find 1,000 reasons for pimples, and you can, and I used premium care products, and I used, you know, like just everything you can imagine. Like just the self-works was ridiculous. But I'd always said to the Lord, when I heard of faith healing, I said to him, I know you can heal me of this. And I also know that I can leave these products at the drop of a hat. Like I'm not idolatrous in the products. I just didn't know there was another way. Like in my brain, everybody cleanses, tones, and moisturizes twice a day. Like that's normal for me because I've done it since I was 9. So I didn't know, and I wasn't in circles around people who weren't washing their face or anything, right? So I didn't know that there was another way. Now, I have no judgment for anybody who doesn't wash their face. I don't really care. This is a testimony. So when I was pregnant and breastfeeding, it would even get even worse. And I was just really great at putting makeup on and that kind of stuff. And so I could hide it, but I knew in myself that it was still there and I was not happy with it. And over the years, there's been scarring and that kind of stuff. And when we started reading the book, Woman, Word, and what is it? Woman, Word, Authority. What
Word, Women,
you know, the book reading, the Jezebel book reading. there's been a lot of discussion about that and how, you know, you shouldn't wear makeup. And a lot of people were really strong advocates for that. And I am too. I said to the Lord, like, I really want to believe that I can one day go without makeup and that I can one day go without, you know, all these little things that I do every day. Because it's getting to the point now where my kids are at that age and I'm like, well, do I just do that with them because it was done with me? Do you know what I mean? Like, you don't know all the bad programming that you've had. So, I just had such condemnation. I actually couldn't even come on here for a few weeks because I was just like, I can't have people look at my face. Like, I'm so, you know, just, it's not pretty. Or it's, if I go without makeup and be all pious and all au naturel, because that's the most godly woman version of a woman that there exists, you know, then I'm going to feel ugly. But if I put makeup on, then I'm condemned because now she's being vain, you know, like there was just all this noise. And I took some time with the Lord and I said, please help me. Like, I don't want to go around this mountain another day. I'm so tired of going around this mountain and I don't know what to do. And I feel like I've tried everything in myself, you know, like no sugar, no carbs, 3 gallons of water a day, no gallons. Do you know what I mean? Like everything, I've done it all. And it's just not getting anywhere. So I reached out to some, I don't want to say worldly friends, because that sounds like I've still got one foot in the world, but just to people that I know that have got great skin. And I just asked them, what do they do? And they came back with, like, I'm telling you, like 10 steps and 3 different things. It looked like witchcraft. And I just said, I actually can't do this. I can't. I'm not going to be making my own serums in my bathroom. Like, I'm just not going to do it. Like, that's where I have to go. So I prayed and I said, Lord, just help me here. And I don't know how, and I don't know how it came up, but I was in front of my computer and I got this. Oh, so I was on Amazon looking for a book, an unrelated book, and this other book just jumped onto the page and it was called The Skincare Hoax. Now, please, I'm not plugging any books. I don't want any of you to read it or anything, but I did. I had a little credit thing in my Amazon account. So I bought the little ebook and I read it in an afternoon and it blew me away. And this woman who's a dermatologist, completely worldly, like probably has, well, anyway, who knows where she's at, but she has a dermatologist thing in New York and she's written this book. And basically she says it's all of it is an absolute lie. Like everything about skincare is an absolute lie. And all you need to do is maybe wash your face. If you feel that way inclined, put moisturizer on twice a day and put sunscreen on when you go out. Now I know there's going to be people on here and in the world that say, well, sunscreen is the thing that causes cancer. Well, that's for you to decide. Like I don't care either way. I'm just saying in those 4 hours that I humbled myself to read something from a worldly person and I found the truth there about skincare that was holding me in bondage. I went into my bathroom and I just started chucking. And it was so freeing. And within 3 days, my skin was completely clear, like completely clear. No, nothing, not nothing. I had so many like sores. Like I just had these terrible sores on my face and I was just so, it was just so horrible. And, I've had like no makeup on for 2 weeks. It's been really cool. I have got some makeup that I plan to wear. Do you know what I mean? Because sometimes you just want to look a little bit prettier and I don't think that's a problem, but it's just been so freeing and such a blessing. And I've been drilling it into my kids. So the same way my mother drilled me with skincare routine, I'm like the anti-skincare routine now. I'm like, no, just wash your face. Just put some cream on. And the only thing I'm really concerned about is, you know, is the sun. So we will use sun cream, and I trust that the Lord is going to protect me from the evils that are in the sun cream, and then he's going to help our skins be able to better manage the effects of the sun, because it is harmful. And yeah, it's been a really freeing time, and it's been amazing. And I didn't know that I was in bondage to something, because it was such a normal thing for me. And now I can see how much time and effort and headspace all of that stuff was taking for my whole life, and what it did to breed vanity, and what it did to breed this feeling of I'm better than other people because I use better products, or I'm not better than other people because I can't afford other products, or whatever it is. And I'm so grateful to the Lord, because I know that he did it. I know he orchestrated everything so that I could be free from this. And I said to the Lord, when I just came to him and I learned about the wilderness, I'm like, I promise I'll leave my skincare the day that the tribulation starts. Like, I promise I won't, I'll leave it then. Well, people, like, bring it. Yeah.
You're ready now. I've got a request, Clarence, to put the link to that book in the chat, if you don't mind. I know women that spend hours doing stuff, you know, I've just done all this stuff. And I would like to send that to somebody.
I'll send you the link. It's not a free book, obviously.
That's okay.
And she's just written it, but I'll send it to you. And then she did a talk on somebody's YouTube thing, which I think is pretty cool. And she walks the walk. Hey, she's not like, she was on some kind of morning show or something on YouTube, and it was just a 5-minute clip. But I looked at her and I was like, you can tell that she just said to them, you're not putting this stuff on my face. So she had a little bit of mascara and she had a little bit of stuff on, but she didn't look like all those Barbie dolls who sit behind the desk on the morning. So it was really nice. And I'm so grateful.
And you know, all she recommended was washing your face.
Wash and moisturize and put sun cream on. She's like, if we put sun cream on the way we brush our teeth.
Oh, yeah.
She's like, you would look 10 times better. She's like, just that one thing alone. She's like, it's such an important part. And it's the only thing that actually does combat aging. Nothing else, no serum, no silver hair from a mountain alpaca, you know, no goji berry juice from the mountains of the Amazon, like nothing. None of that's going to matter. She says like organic doesn't matter. What matters is only like that you want. And she's got a website that is for free where you can go in and say what you want, and she will give you like her recommendations. And she has no financial ties. She doesn't care if it's Johnson & Johnson. She doesn't care if it's these big, like, you know, brand names. She poo-poos some of the brand names. You know, she's just really real. And she says she wants to be an advocate for the consumer, because she can, grown women come into her office with pedigrees and degrees and all these things, and they burst out in tears and think they're ugly because the world is telling them they're ugly. I don't watch the news or read magazines or have any of that in my life, but because I had it for so long, you know, those things are still there. So I'm glad my kids are not growing up that way. And they love to point out everything that they learn. So, yes, it's been a very interesting couple of weeks, but I'm really grateful for it. Thank you, Lord.
Did you show Mecca and Tabitha and Daniel that little clip of that little boy?
Oh, I did, and their eyes were like this. They're like, that is amazing.
It was.
And then last night we were busy washing dishes and Tabby says to Daddy, to Rian, she says, oh, Daniel told me how to speak in tongues long ago. And Rian's like, really? And she goes, yeah, you just open your mouth and just make any sound.
Well, that's true.
I don't you think make any sound. Quite like that. But, you know.
Well, yeah.
The Lord's working with him. Like, I'm not going to.
Oh, I guarantee you, if she'll do that, the Lord will give her a full language because she's doing it in faith. Praise God. Yeah. That's awesome.
That little boy was precious. He was.
I'm telling you, that was. I just blessed my socks off.
And he's obviously watching that, right? Like, that's his normal. That's what his parents do. That's what his community does. And praise God. Like, that is what we want.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, Kathleen's the one that sent it to me. And I just wished I had it all to do over again, you know. But boy, I tell you what, you young ones, this is the time to get a hold of. My, that little boy, he was mad at the devil, wasn't he? Attacking his sister, for goodness sake. He went after that devil. Glory to God. That was awesome. All right. Thank you, Claire. I'll try to get me some sunscreen tomorrow.
just one more thing, Michael. She said, like, because I think this was like a wake-up call for me. She said, eye creams versus skin cream versus body cream, it's all a lie. She said, it's just a lie. She says, you can take the eye cream and look at the ingredients and look at the amount per however many grams and you go look at the normal face cream for that product, and very often they're exactly the same thing, but you're being charged almost $5,000 per gram.
My gracious,
just because it's in a tinier little tube or whatever. She just destroys every single argument that people have for anti-aging skincare or for skincare. It was amazing. It was an awesome. Eye-opener. I'm grateful.
Moisturizer and sunscreen. Okay. Go ahead, Missy.
I recently got, oh gosh, what's it called? 100% raw shea butter. And I use that as a moisturizer for everything. The Lord showed me to do that. And it's so much cheaper because I was getting this like almost 2 ounce thing for more than what I paid $12 for. I don't know how much it is. It's like maybe 8 ounces or something or whatever of this 100% raw shea butter. Anyway, so I can use that for everything. It's just like the Lord was, you know, he just said to use that for everything. So, but anyway, I just wanted to say, Claire, I like so 100% can relate to what you were saying. I don't have anything real special that I use on my face other than, you know, just a good cleanser and stuff like that and a moisturizer. But, you know, I'd appreciate some prayers on that because, you know, even at my age, I still break out and it's just, and I'm like, I've been battling this and just confessing and claiming I have spotless, blemishless skin in Jesus' name. Just say
she
that.
She just gave you the prescription for it. She just gave it to you. Missy?
What do you mean?
Well, she said, wash your face.
Right, that's what I do.
Sunscreen. Okay.
Yeah, that's what I do. But I, like I said, I still have that. So I just confess every day that I have spotless, blemishless skin. And thank you, Lord.
Amen.
You know?
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. I'll tell you another good thing is use Lava soap for everything. Shampoo, face, body, everything, you know. That's good stuff. She's some of y'all are looking at, well, what's he talking about? Well, you men know what I'm talking about. All right. Anybody else? No. Anybody else? Question I have tonight. Question I have tonight. How do you endure in your faith? You know, you can pray for somebody and they'll get healed immediately. Oh man, I'm on a roll now. You know, you go to somebody else and you pray for them and it won't happen immediately. What do you do then? Or you pray for three or four people for whatever reason. And then you come across one that doesn't get healed. What do you do? What is the thing that we need to do at that point? What's the word say? Yeah, Claire.
Well, I can just share what happened last week with my son. Last week, Wednesday, he started feeling sick. I think we even prayed for him here. And just try and let your cutlery be loose, because you're making a noise. Yes, Mom. Okay. Sorry. So we prayed for the little guy, and within probably an hour, he vomited, which I was like, oh, great. This is awesome. Now we're done. But we weren't done because he vomited probably three or four times more. And we just kept on confessing the good report. And he kept on feeling really sick. And because he doesn't feel sick often, and because the Lord is gracious and the Lord is present here, he doesn't know how to endure. He doesn't know how to accept the trial. And at one point, he like threw his hands up in the air quite dramatically and said, why is the Lord doing this to me? And I said to him, because he is making you into a man of God, and he wants you to be able to stand. When the enemy's throwing darts at you, you're going to have to stand, and you're going to have to stand for your family one day, and you're going to have to stand for the people that God leads you to preach to one day. So you need to stand. And it changed everything. And he only really had he slept through for the first time on Sunday night. So that's Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So 4 days of being what people would say is not optimally healthy. We still did everything we would normally do. We still swam. We still went for a walk on the beach, a very long walk. That's another story. We did all these things and asked him to eat whatever he needed to eat. And his own prayers were changing in that he was saying to the Lord at the end of every day, thank you for giving me perseverance. Thank you for letting me endure in this trial. And I think that is what we're supposed to do. We then spent probably 2 days later, we spent a good 2 hours praising the Lord in the car. We had to drive somewhere. So we, you know, we just praised him all the way. And when we got out of the car, Daniel's like, I'm healed. And it was the praise. And we all knew it was the praise because it's happened before. And that is what we did as a family, and that is how we endure. So thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Amen. All right, anybody else? Let me tell you my experience. That way we could go from there. How's that? When I've done that, and I come across something that they kind of, you know, it might throw something up, you know, like a flag or something, and try to keep me from praying. What I'll do, and I found that this works great, is I'll go back and I'll think, like, if I go pray for somebody and nothing's happening, sometimes I'll go back and think about the ones that I was successful with and go to praying in tongues until my faith is built up and go back and pray for them again. And I've done that a number of times and it works. You have to stir up the gifts that are in you. When you stir up those gifts that are in you, then you have that gift of healing that's available at the time, or gift of faith, I should say. And it works almost every time when you do that. When I was going to Children's Hospital in Little Rock, when you go up on that third floor, which is the terminal cases, and I tell you, it just devastates you. It just devastates you. But what I would do is go up there and pray for the kids the one time that I was allowed in there. And they couldn't run me out, but I prayed for them. And when I got through doing the ABC stuff, you know, in the name of Jesus, you're healed. But then I'd go down in the street out of the hospital and pray in tongues until I knew, you know, I knew that things were happening at that time. Might take an hour, might take 2 hours, I don't know, whatever it takes to get that release. But you're enduring in your faith when you do that. Does that make sense to anybody? Because our ultimate goal is to do like Jesus, see everybody healed. He healed them all. And we're still I'd like to get to the point to where every time we pray for somebody, they get healed immediately. And you do that by what we talked about the other night, talking about that spiritual hunger. You want more of God, spend more time with Him. Anybody got any comments or would like to add to that? What I would tell myself, well, Lord, you healed them. You healed that last one I prayed for. Best God, I know you'll heal this one too. I just, and then I'll start praying in the spirit, throwing up the gifts that are in you. That's what He wants you to do, is throw up those gifts and watch the success go sky high. I'd love to be able to just run out there and put my hands on everybody I see that's messed up and watch them get healed. I'm still waiting on myself, I guess. But when you get this, I found this out over the years, that's the past 25 years too. The more you go out there and heal people, or pray for people for healing, the more the gift will work for you. And if you can do that, that'll help you in your ministry. Practice makes perfect. Yeah, Isaac.
Hello. Hey, everybody. Hey, everybody. I don't know that I have I don't know how to add to that, but I can tell you something the Lord just did for me. It was maybe just a few nights ago, Michael. And it goes to that, because I've been reading Sovereign God, and I'm reading again in God's Sovereignty Over Evil. And I just had a quick little dream, and I think it does kind of go in line with what you're saying. In my dream, I was singing, "He's under my feet," and you know, Satan's under my feet. He's under my feet. You know, and I seen him take back what he stole from me, right? And I was just seeing that in my dream.
Enemy's camp.
Yeah, enemy's camp. That's the name of it. And so I was just singing that. So, that just goes to show you where the curse is. It's under our feet. So, you know, we have authority. That's all.
Yeah. Absolutely. Anybody else? Yeah, Donna.
So, it was New Year's Eve night. I went out with a friend and her husband, and we went to a coffee shop, and we were discussing, they were kind of messianic and in that movement, and just been really praying for them. And she was sharing how they've came out and God has brought them into the new covenant and is just really expanding the word with them. And it was awesome. Anyway, so we were drinking coffee and I had some coffee. And that night I came home and I got majorly sick, and I was sick for a week. And I think it was influenza A, but here's the point. I knew God, he has been dealing with me on drinking coffee. Okay. And I knew that in my life, not everybody's life, everybody's different, but in my life, that is a sin. And I gave in at that moment, you know, and I did have some coffee, and it sounds so simple, but yet I know that's why I got sick. And then since then, I did recover and I'm great now, but I've had symptoms come on me and I just rebuke them, and I have the faith to stand, knowing that, you know, I'm not doing anything that's, I'm keeping God's commandments. But just to let you know, I mean, so many people, you know, we think just a little thing like that, but that was important to God. And I know that's why I got sick.
Okay. Thank you, Lord. All right, anyone else? I don't think breaking the coffee is what did it. I think disobedience to the Lord, if he told you not to drink coffee, is probably what the problem was.
Well, yeah, that's exactly what I'm meaning. I don't think coffee is a sin. Yes. For me, it is, because he's told me not to drink it. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, so which opened the door for Satan.
Exactly. Exactly.
It is. Anybody else? God doesn't put anything on us. It's Satan that always does it. God's the one that heals. And I know that we can open up doors to allow Satan in, and he could do his stuff. And then, of course, then you can repent and run him off. Yeah, Isaac.
Yep. Sorry, I don't mean to raise my hand so much. Michael, you're 100% right, man, about that. Because I wanted to mention this when I mentioned my last dream about Satan's under our feet, right? But I thought, that seemed good enough to me. And then you brought this up, how, you know, the curse and the administrator of the curse. It was a really quick dream. And I was at my house where I grew up in Maceo. When I was on the road, it's called North Chestnut Grove Road. And, there's a big hill, and where I'm raised, it's really flat, you know, just a lot of cornfields. But there was this one hill, is one of the highest points in all of Davis County, because that's where I was raised at. And I was standing on the hill, and next to me was God. And, he basically pointed over and said, look over there. And I had this dream a few years ago. This goes to your point. And he pointed, and there was this fence, to the left of the left of the road. It was this fence, maybe, I don't know, 5-6 foot tall. I'm just throwing a number out there. I don't really know. And it was like this barbed wire. And inside was this being wearing a trench coat with a like a hood over it, like a vampire cloak, right? And he was just walking in circles, but he wasn't let go out of the fence. So he couldn't do anything other than walk around because he was fenced up. And I woke up and I knew, well, he can't do anything, you know. He's just the administrator of the curse. And there's a lot that goes into it. I think if you read Sovereign God, it'll explain a lot better detail, you know, God's sovereignty over evil. But, you know, it's just willful disobedience and he can be unleashed. But, no, I just thought that was really cool, man. That's all again.
Amen. All right. What else? Anyone got anything they'd like to talk about or ask a question about or give an answer? I don't know where we are in the book. Page 130, I think.
Yeah, page 130, that. Ephesians 5.
Yeah. Do you have something, Pat?
No, I was just wondering. Yes, I guess I do. Isaac just mentioned he was reading through Sovereign God. As soon as we get through with this book, it might be nice to read through Sovereign God.
I found one.
Just as a suggestion.
Yeah. Sovereign God's a great book. So is a real good dude. So is How Shall We Die. So is Don't Conquer the Curse. So is. Yeah, Sovereign God would be a good one. Okay, Ephesians 5 and 22. Everybody there? I'm waiting. Yeah, Missy, go ahead.
I was just saying I was ready. Wait, you want me to read?
Oh, okay. No, I can read. I'll read. You can read after me, and then we'll just go around the table.
Okay.
You there, Julie? Well, sure, duh. Yeah, Michael says, I do think getting a jab is opening the door. Oh, yeah, that's a big door. Ephesians 5:22, page 130 of the PDF. Are you ready? Okay. Ephesians 5:22, wives, be in subjection unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. In other words, just the way you're supposed to obey the Lord, obey your husband, and that will be pleasing unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church. In the same way that Christ is the head of the church, the husband is the head of the wife. So if a wife rebels against her husband, she is rebelling against the head of the church, Jesus Christ, being himself the savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives also be to their husbands in everything. So it's not how the church is subject to Christ, it's how the church is supposed to be subject to Christ. And that way, let the wife be subject unto her husband in everything. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for it. So a husband is a self-sacrificing person for the sake of the wife. Again, the job description here does not include obeying Jezebel. You have to obey the Lord because the head of every man is Christ. And the head of the woman is the man. And so you have to keep that in correct order. Or else if you get out of order, you'll be missing God. Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for it, that he might sanctify it. Yeah, that's right. Husbands, if you love your wives, it's going to be a whole lot easier for them to be subject to you. David says, that's part of your job description, the husband, to sanctify the submissive wife. So wife, obey your husband. Let him do this job. Because in obeying your husband, you're being sanctified. Having cleansed it by the washing of the water with the word. Yes, the word of God needs to be number one in your home. It has to be your law. It has to be your rock to stand on. Verse 27, that he might present the church to himself, a glorious church. May all husbands be able to present them to themselves a glorious wife. Amen. Not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. If you wondered about those spots and wrinkles, spots are new sin, wrinkles are old sin. Excuse me. But that it should be holy and without blemish. Wow. These verses are comparing what Jesus does for the church to what the husband does for the wife. We see that if the husband loves the wife, he can sanctify her. And we see that if the wife obeys her husband, she will be sanctified through this, praise God. So there's a really good reason, wife, why you should submit to your husband, and there it is right there. You'll never come to maturity. You'll never be that beautiful bride for the Lord unless you obey your husband. I can tell you this. A woman that has a Jezebel spirit will not, you can quote this right straight out of the Bible, and they will not listen to it with that Jezebel spirit. You'll have to cast it out in order for them to listen to it. And then a lot of times they have problems with it. But what if the wife says, I can't obey him until he loves me like Christ loves the church? If that happens, folks, she'll never be satisfied, sanctified. The Lord says that she must obey her husband, whether he is perfect or not. 1 Peter 3:1. In like manner, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husband. That even if any obey not the word, so the husband doesn't have to be perfect. In fact, he could be not obeying the word, and God still says to obey him. They may, without the word, be gained by the behavior of their wives. You'll notice, even when they're not obeying the word, they'll be gained by their wives. So God can use the wife to save her husband. Verse 2, beholding your chaste behavior coupled with fear. Wives, it's to your advantage to obey your husband so he can be sanctified. And husbands, it is to your great advantage to love the Lord, meaning obey him, and love your wife, and in that order. Okay, Missy, you want to read? Go ahead.
Some of you would say, I'm not a Jezebel, Dave. Or, I do love my wife, Dave, but I'm just offended. Well, let me tell you that if you are offended, you are always wrong because you are not forgiving. And if you are not forgiving, then you are therefore not forgiven by God, nor are you eligible for grace. According to Jesus in the parable of the unforgiving servant, Matthew 18:21-35. Then his Lord called unto him and says to him, thou wicked servant, I gave thee all I forgave thee all that debt because thou besoughtest me. Shouldest not thou also have had mercy on thy fellow servant, even as I had mercy on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due. So shall also my heavenly Father do unto you, if you forgive not everyone his brother from your hearts. So if you're offended, you're just plain wrong. No matter what, you're wrong. You're not exercising faith. And what's coming out of your mouth when you're offended is everything but what needs to come out of your mouth, because you're criticizing, you're judging, you're unforgiving, you're bitter. All these things are coming out of your mouth, and you're cursing yourself because you're cursing your mate. You've forgotten that a husband and a wife are one body. Amen. Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. It is a dangerous thing to speak contrary to the word. The Lord said, Numbers 14:28, as I live, surely as you have spoken in my ears, so will I do to you. We're warned not to add to or take away from God's word. Revelation 22:18. I testify unto every man that hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto them, God shall add unto him the plagues which are written in this book. And if any man take away from the words of this book, of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the tree of life and out of the holy city which are written in this book. That's what he says. It's a dangerous thing. Matthew 12:37. For by your words you shall be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned. Do you believe the word? Then it needs to come out of your mouth, and you need to be obedient. You can't wait for somebody else to be obedient first before you're obedient. Everybody else is accountable to the Lord themselves. Your husband is accountable to the Lord himself. Your wife is accountable to the Lord herself. Don't wait for them to be obedient. You have to be obedient. Your life is in your hands. And moving on, she said, after seeing this woman on the throne, I heard the words, one stone will not be left on another. You know, at one time, God's holy city was called a harlot. Isaiah 1:21. How is the faithful city become a harlot? She that was full of justice, righteousness lodged in her, but now murderers. That's the same as the heart of our day, folks. It's not apostate Jerusalem this time. It's apostate Christianity. Not one stone will be left upon another. It's all going to be torn down. God has cursed the house of Jezebel, both individual and corporate. That means your home. That means your home. If there's a Jezebel there and there's being, and she's being obeyed by an Ahab there, there's a curse on that. The same curse that was upon the original Jezebel and Ahab. And there's a curse on the corporate body of Jezebel, which is spread throughout the church. Everywhere she is, there is a curse. And the biggest curse is going to be on her. She says, one stone, he says, one stone will not be left upon another, meaning he will tear it down stone by stone, or individual by individual, or fake church by fake church. He will tear it down. And when we disobey his commands, folks, we're doing the same thing. We're tearing down our own house with our own words. The next scene was a repeat of the first scene in the church auditorium. I was standing in the pews facing the stage altar area. Only this time I noticed that there were fewer people in the audience, very few remaining in this large mega church building. That's because the Lord is tearing it down. Mark 13:2. And Jesus said unto him, seest thou these great buildings? There shall not be left here one stone upon another, which shall not be thrown down. And what did he do? He raised up the beast to come and tear it down to the ground. The building that they thought was holy, it was torn down to the ground. Now there's a building today that's thought to be holy by religious people who are putting on a pretty good show, but they really don't have it on the inside. And that's going to be torn down by the Lord stone by stone. He's going to raise up the beast to totally conquer the fake church. They're going to be given into the beast's hands to be destroyed. I'll stop.
Amen. Okay. All right. Pat, you want to read a little bit?
Sure. A spiritual sacrifice. As I meditated on this passage, I realized that the stones Jesus is talking about are people, as we are like living stones in his temple, 1 Peter 2:5. Ye also, as living stones, are built up a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So if we are these, if we are these living stones, if we, as these living stones, are the New Testament priesthood, which we are to offer up spiritual sacrifices, which we should be doing. The major one, of course, is the sacrifice of burning flesh. It's called the continual burnt offering, Numbers chapter 28. If there's not a continual burnt offering, then your religion is in vain. The Jews no longer have a continual burnt offering because they have been broken off from the olive tree, and the Christians have been grafted in through their faith, Romans chapter 11. So what is this continual burnt offering today? It's the offering up of your old flesh on the altar of the fiery trial. You do that when you submit to the Lord and deny yourself permission to live and act the way you want to. Ephesians 4:31, Colossians 3:8. This submission is crucifying and puts to death the old self. Ephesians 4:22, that you put away as concerning your former manner of life, the old man, that waxeth corrupt after the lusts of deceit. Romans 13:14, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. But in the midst of the trial, folks, the wife can't suddenly take the reins in her own hands and say, well, I'm just going to take care of this myself. Let's do it my way. It's doomed to be cursed, for you're tearing your own house down with your own hands. It's in the midst of the trial that you offer up that old flesh as a sacrifice, as Colossians 3:20, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. This is what's acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. This is the acceptable life. I felt the presence of a strong man, Jesus, come into the church next to me on the right. He then stepped up behind me and wrapped his arms around me in a big embrace. After the separation of fruitless tares from among the wheat, the bride and the true church will be made manifest. I felt safe and warm in his arms. I was surprised. He seemed fat, and as I thought it, he said, shall I lose 5 pounds for you? And this is what came to me, Proverbs 28:25. But he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat. I was puzzled by what 5 pounds could mean. I thought later to look up 5 pounds and found this verse, Luke 19:18. And the second came saying, thy pound, Lord, hath made 5 pounds. The Lord left this his servant with a pound, and he brought forth 5 more pounds. That's fruit bearing. Verse 19. And he said unto him also, be thou also over 5 cities. So we see here that the 5 pounds given up for the bride represents the Lord's reward for the fruitful. We have to bear fruit, and bearing fruit is to come into his likeness. You come into his likeness through obedience to the word of God. The more the word you obey, the more fruit you bear. In the parable of the sower, Matthew 13:3-9, and verse 18-23, and Mark 4:9-4, 1-9, and 13-20, and Luke 8:4-15, Jesus sowed the word of God into their hearts, and they brought forth fruit, Matthew 13:23. And he that was sown upon the good ground, this is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, who verily beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. It is being obedient to the word that brings forth fruit, and God expects to find fruit when he returns. Matthew 25:24. And he also that had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou didst not sow, and gathering where thou didst not scatter. Verse 25. And I was afraid and went away and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, thou hast thine own. But his Lord answered and said to him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I did not scatter. Thou oughtest therefore to have put thy money to the bankers, and at my coming I should have received back mine own with interest. Take ye away therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him that hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not, even that which he hath shall be taken away. And cast ye out the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You're going to find a lot of so-called Christians are not bearing any fruit because they're not reading the word of God. And they're not seeking to be disciples of Jesus Christ by being in obedience to it. Matthew 22:14. For many are called, but few are chosen. Then I saw an ocean liner on the sea, and I knew this was a man who held me strongly and securely in his arms. In his arms is the captain of this large ship. Jesus is the captain guiding the ship of revival. Then I woke up as the church bells in the town rang at 9 a.m. for services to begin. It was Sunday morning. What you must know about this small town is it has a very small population, and it is situated on a chain of lakes. It is a popular resort town in summer, but now it's winter there. I came to help my son move into his apartment from a temporary apartment where he had stayed down the hall or 1 month prior. There are many divorced women with children living in this building, and the fight was between two men and a woman. Not sure about that. And immediately when I read this, the thought came to me that the soul of the apostate woman is in the balance. Two men have fought for her obedient submission, Jesus and Satan. The only hope of her children is to come out of her and not to have any fellowship with her sins. The divorced are a symbol of the divisive spirit operating in the land. I prayed for this woman to come to the knowledge of the truth as she was walking in her apartment overhead all night. She had no rest, but I did, finally in my Savior's arms, where I am safe. Amen. I asked the Lord for a passage of scripture for this dream, and he gave me Job chapter 22. I see the first section, Job 22, 1 through 11, about division. Section 12 through 18 is about the harlot church, and 19 through 30 is about the man-child. Then this verse for those who are in the refuge of Jesus, safely in his arms, Job 22:23. If thou return to the Almighty, thou shalt be built up. If thou put away unrighteousness far from thy tents. So if you repent, the Lord will be with you. He will bless you. He will provide for you. If iniquity is not removed from the individual, God will remove the individual from among the body, so that a little leaven does not leaven the whole lump. 1 Corinthians 5:6. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, even as ye are unleavened. For our Passover also has been sacrificed, even Christ. Wherefore, let us keep the feast not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness. Malice and wickedness is the very nature of Jezebel. But with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. But as it is, I wrote unto you not to keep company if any man that is named a brother be a fornicator or covetous or an idolater or a reviler or a drunkard or an extortioner, with such a one now not to eat. This is true. Jezebels are covetous in that they lust for a position God has not given them. They are revilers in that they speak abusively against their head instead of speaking faith and encouragement to him. And they are extortioners in that they use their position to manipulate gain for themselves. Colossians 5:13. But them that are without God judgeth. But them that are without God judgeth. Put away the wicked man from among yourselves. So we see that either we divorce the sin or God will divorce us. Isaiah 51. Thus saith the Lord, where is the bill of your mother's divorcement, wherewith I have put her away? Or which of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you? Behold your iniquities. For your iniquities you were sold, and for your transgressions was your mother put away. Well, our mother is the apostate church. All religions of the daughter harlot come out of the mother harlot. As the Lord divorced the Jezebel of Israel, so he will divorce the Jezebel of the church. Ecclesiastes 1:9. that which hath been is that which shall be, and that which hath been done is that which shall be done, and there is no new thing under the sun.
Just a second. Anybody got any comments or questions for what we've read so far? Barry, did you get my email? My text. Okay. I asked if you wanted to read next.
I am not hooked up to my phone all the time. I go for hours without looking at it. And it's no surprise if I didn't look at it for 10 minutes. But anyway, sure, I'll read.
Okay.
Let's see. I heard the Lord say as I prayed about this dream and its interpretation. Wait a minute. Is that where we are?
Yeah.
Okay. Just about wasn't sure it was in the right place. As I prayed about this dream and its interpretation, because they have divorced themselves from me, I will divorce myself from them. Matthew 10:34. Think not I came to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I came to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. God will separate those who consider his kingdom more valuable than any kingdom of this world from those who don't. Am I saying it will be hopeless for those who don't? No, because God can bring them in if you're faithful to him. He will honor a husband's faith for his wife, and he will honor a wife's faith for her husband. Spiritual warfare for those in deception. I was troubled in my spirit that even though I did spiritual warfare and prayed, the fighting continued off and on throughout the night, and I had to persevere in praying in the spirit. We must pray and do spiritual warfare for those who are captive to the Jezebel spirit, both corporate and individual. Ask God to put it in you and give you a gift to pray for those you know are caught up in this deception. Then the Lord reminded me that it could have been much worse had we not prayed to intercede for the other tenants and especially the children. Scripture says, James 4:2, ye have not because ye ask not. You've been given authority in the earth, Jesus promised. Mark 11:24. Therefore, I say unto you, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe that ye receive them and ye shall have them. Your prayers mean something. The world can't do that. You need to pray for people and believe when you pray. This verse seemed to fit from the passage that the Lord gave me in Job 22:29. When they cast thee down, thou shalt say, there is lifting up. And the humble person, he will save. He will deliver even him that is not innocent, yea, he shall be delivered through the cleanness of thy hands. Notice that if your hands are clean, if you're obedient to the Lord, he will hear your prayers for other people. Praise God. If not, if you're an Ahab who's submitted to Jezebel, don't expect him to change things. If you're Jezebel, you need to be praying for the Lord to grant you repentance, because that's the only prayer he's going to hear from you. Those of Jezebel who do not repent will be divided from the church and the bride and will be be divorced of the Lord. They will be reprobated just like Esau.
That's pretty serious.
In the natural, my son is now aware of the need to pray for others in his apartment building. I'm reminded of how much we need to pray for our neighbors, too. Yes, we need to pray for our neighbor as much as we need to pray for ourselves. Galatians 5:13. For ye, brethren, were called for freedom. Only use not your freedom for an occasion to the flesh, but through love be servants one to another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You will be blessed when you pray for your neighbor. Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall they give into your bosom. Or with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. Give of your time, give of your prayer, give of your sacrifice, for those around you. If there's anybody in your assembly that needs prayer, remember them. God will remember you. Galatians 5:15. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. Spiritual cannibalism happens too. How? Strong's pulpit commentary says of this verse, it points to another sphere of hurt, the utter laying waste of the inward life of piety. The orthodox opinion may survive and perhaps be even made clearer and more accurate, but the kernel of filial love and joy in God and of love towards our brethren may by the some Greek word here, the bitter antagonism of controversy have got to be altogether eaten out. A Christian disciple who has ceased to love, Christ teaches us, is salt, which has lost its savor, utterly refuse, and hopeless of recovery. Mark 9:50, emphasis added, that's a complete tragedy. No one recovers from that. So go to God in faith for those that love you. That you love, because I'll bet you one thing about Jezebel. Jezebel only loves Jezebel. But we have to love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, and soul. Mark 12:28. And one of the scribes came and heard them questioning together, and knowing that he had answered them well, asked him, what commandment is the first of all? Jesus answered, the first is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And thou shalt love thy Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. The second is this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Andrew, you had your hand up a while ago. Do you want to read?
I was just going to ask a question or make a statement as to, you know, sometimes when the church, when the apostate church teaches something of a Jezebel item, a new Christian, an immature Christian might fumble in that, you know, and because the church is teaching something wrong, he might go the wrong way because he may have other things that are wrong. So you see, this affects a person immature in the Lord much more because he may think that he's doing something right, but in respect to the Lord, you know, he could. He wants to be separate from what is against God in God's word, but he sees something wrong in the church and he would leave for protection from God to do what is right, in other words. But because of his youth, he might stray off into the world because of this too. And the contention that's there, all the different combinations, you know, the divisions, you know, they might start wondering, well, which one's right, you know, and you can really be thrown for a loop with all these multiverse denominations. I'm not saying that they don't have the gospel of salvation down, but you can even see how the worldly people would say, well, you know, they're all the same. Since there's like, what, 40,000 denominations, I guess all the other religions are good too, because they all speak morality and they come to this consensus like this. And even though there is a legality Christian, and then there's the called Christian, and then there's somewhere in between, like it was in Corinth, where there's partial flesh with partial grace, which the apostle labeled as a carnal Christian. So all of these things they have to grow out of. And because of this multiverse, there's a lot of problems.
What does the apostate religion teach about the Jezebel and the husband? I've never heard them talk about it.
Yeah, they really don't talk about it. Sometimes, you know, when a person would come across those words in the book of Revelation with the seven churches, they would come across that word, the Jezebel church. You know, she eats things sacrificed unto idols and commits fornication, you know, and they immediately assume that it's a fornication.
Physical.
Yeah. And it's best. I think one of the best places it's described is in Hebrews. I can't remember if it's chapter 12 or 13, where it talks about Esau and vanity is fornication. And, you know, that word vanity comes up quite a bit everywhere. And vanity is to say that God's word has no meaning. So that's a different love altogether. So what I'm saying here is because of the lack of knowledge, I guess, in this new Christian, he might go off into the world. And because they teach error. You know, they will teach a person the flesh. They will teach the people to add or take away from the word. And even though if you're really, some of them might be really young in the Lord and they know that's wrong. You know, like a for instance would be the leadership. You know, they just look from experience, from past history. You go to when my grandpa was a grandpa, there was no woman in the pulpit at all, you know, and this is something new. This is something in our generation that has come to pass. And because of this, you know, because a person would take a stance on something, he might get blessed for the stance he takes when it's correct. But he's got his other own problems. As a real young Christian, he needs God now to bring him to the right place so that he can get more fruit, bring him to the people that are closer to God. But, you know, from my own experience going through all these different denominations I went through, it's tough on a person who's, I guess, a naive Christian, you know, and thinks everyone's okay. And it's a dilemma that I don't want anyone to go on, you know, anyone to go in that direction. And it ends up that sometimes the Lord even has to chasten some of these very naive Christians, you know, and they have to go through their chastening through and it lasts quite a long time, and it's a shame that people just, you know, a denomination didn't save you. That's true. The denomination did not save you. No man saved you. The Lord God offered His grace to you, and that's the truth. But they want to make these divisions, and some of them are very adamant. You know, they're very pride, and then have huge ego that you can't even say a word sideways to them. You know, working for a university for 35 years, you get to see that kind of spirit just in the academia of the university, and it's not good even in the regular academia when a person takes his position and dictates to another person how things are going to go down. So there's a lot of different spirits out there in people. And you get people thinking, I know what a demon spirit is because I seen it on Hollywood. And they have no idea of that person that they work with, or that other person over there that they work with. And I just don't know how sometimes people get through their day and they go to work, you know. And I guess the concern that one would have, and that anyone should have, is a proper concern, because that's a concern your Lord has for all these people and all these different spirits and words that they're going to, that are not the Word of God. Yeah, so, and you know, he mentioned Matthew 25 there, and there's so many differences, you know, like there's the five foolish virgins, the five wise virgins, the five talent guy, the two talent guy, the one talent guy, then he's dividing the sheep from the goats, and the lambs from the kids. And you know, there's these two sets of people going out, and one is serving the Lord for correctly, and they say, well, when did we do this for you, Lord? And it's like as if they didn't know they were doing correctly. And same with the adversaries too. They didn't know that they were doing wrong. So that's the way it is. Like that 25 really describes it what the problem is. You know, it truly puts the ones who said, well, when did we see you, Lord, this way? When did we feed you? When did we see you sick, naked, or in prison, or strange? You know, and you just go to those words in the letter of Jude. Something crept in unawares. And he wants you to bear the fruit. And how can you bear the fruit? You know, if you're going to cheat off someone else's test paper, you go to the smart guy. You don't want to get bad answers, right? So you go to your brother Jesus, your big brother, and you ask him, like, this is an adoption here, Jesus. How can I please our Father? You know, you're adopted there. And I only say that it's because someone tried to copy off me, and I said to him, don't copy off me. Go up there. That guy's 90%. And he says, you're smart enough. And then after I left, I went, yeah, wait a minute. If he copies off the 90% guy and gets 80%, the teacher's going to be suspicious. But if he copies off of me, 70 average, he'll get a 50, and the teacher will think, I'm so successful for elevating this student. And so he was actually smart on who he would cheat off of. So there is there's a lot of lessons to be learned in life, and I think that was one of them that I learned about thieves and stuff. You know, the Lord reminds us of all these things that we go through, even things before we were saved, to show that he was drawing us. You know, he the 644 drawing, and this drawing will bring you to the point of obedience. And I put a high level on obedience because I said one thing once before. I said, love's the bomb, you know. Love's like the nuclear bomb, and it never fails, because it completely decimates and dissipates all other obediences when you're obedient to God. And even though you think about that, we all still struggle with things. So I tried to explain some things that I had to go through myself, but without mentioning any names and stuff. And even sometimes you know, here's a guy, he was in prison for 12 years. Okay, it's Richard Warmbrand. I don't know if you know about Richard Warmbrand. He was in a prison, and his captor for 12 years, and this captor of his, the commandant of the prison, even had him tortured. But on the year he was being let out, the commandant was professing salvation and coming to the Lord. Someone was bringing him to the Lord when he was set free from the prison. And they came to be very good friends, you know, and this is what happens. And I just found that that was exciting when I heard that. And
Andrew, I hate to stop you, but we're out of time. And I would like to get this last paragraph for you, if you don't mind.
Sure thing.
So we could start the next chapter. I'm sorry, I wouldn't normally do that, but I also have a meeting after this meeting too. So, all right, Jezebel and Ahab cannot be among the bride. I will say from this exhortation that the bride has been chosen, so move quickly, for there will not be a Jezebel nor an Ahab among the bride. God bless you and keep you. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I ask you to give grace to anyone out there that wants to escape this trap, Lord, of either a Jezebel or a Ahab. Let them become obedient to your word. Let them put their faith in Jesus Christ, who gave his life, who bore this sin of the Jezebel and Ahab life upon the cross, and gave them his life, his holy life, and gave them the correction of the renewed mind through the word of God. And Father, I pray that anyone who is caught up in these sins would be granted grace by you to devour your New Testament, Lord, to be filled with your new covenant, Lord, and the words that give freedom, the words that set free. Thank you so much, Father, for words that bear fruit. The sower sowed the seed, which was the word of God, into the hearts, and they brought forth fruit, 30, 60, and 100-fold, praise God. The sad thing was that there were three other groups there that didn't bear fruit, and so it is today. Many, many are not bearing fruit. They don't know that that's what God expects of them. This is the manifestation of your salvation in the earth, is to manifest his fruit, his word in us, which is Christ in you, the only hope of glory. Well, glory to God. Thank you, Father, for that good prayer. We thank you, Father, that that's true. We just believe, Lord, that you're going to save all of these Jezebels and Ahabs to come into the kingdom, Lord. We know that they... This Jezebel spirit is sometimes ingrained in women since from birth. And Father, we thank you for setting them free. Glory to God. Glory and setting the Ahab free too. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen and amen. Well, folks, God bless you. We'll see you. What is this? Tuesday. We'll see you Thursday night. Glory to God. Amen.